let me say this. We're going to have another financial faithfulness seminar coming up shortly, and I'll give you the time, because this is just a touch of what's going on in the whole spectrum of tipper, tither, and giver. And there are so many folks who need to hear it who are not here. And it's amazing, because if there was ever a time that I wanted to be in a church service, it would be a message on giving. Because you never know which way it's going to turn. Amen. And you may get enlightened more than you thought. So let me say this, that last, well, 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the tipper. And remember, a tipper is one who has to justify why they give. And we explained that. You go to a restaurant, the dining room table, and you're eating, and you know that after the meal, you have to give a tip. And the normal tip is 15 to 20%, but when we get to the end of the meal, we have to begin to justify how much we're going to give our server. It's not just freely, well, I'm just going to give 20% automatic. We're going to figure out now, when I wanted some water, they wasn't here. You know, so that check off a percentage right there. So we have to, as a tipper, you want to justify how you give to the one who has served you. And in church, that's what we have, a lot of tippers who want to give to the Lord depending on how he has served them. Well, then you have your tither. And the tither is one who is bound to the law and is legalistic and finds that there is a portion of what God gives me that I am required to give back. Tithing was based upon Old Testament laws. It was not the option not to tithe. It was the law, which means that if you did not tithe, you can be in trouble. Not only that, when you're talking about Old Testament tithing, we realize that it was what? More than 10%. There were about three tithes, which may have taken it to what they call 29.9%. The fact of the matter is that if you say you are a tither, then you are tied to the law, and you should not ever miss, ever, a Sunday, because God could withdraw his provisions from you. Amen? So, tipper, tither. But today I want to talk about the giver. Amen? Amen? Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. We're going right back there. 2 Corinthians, 9th chapter. And I'm going to deal with primarily two verses. We read the whole passage 2 weeks ago, but we're just going to read verses 7 and 8. Because I want you to understand what giving is. Amen? Amen? It reads, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every, what? Good work. You may be seated. Now, we went through a lot last week on the only two New Testament verses that show where Jesus talked about the tithe when he was talking to the Pharisees dealing with the law. He came from that perspective. Now, everything that you hear from that point on is about giving and giving freely. Amen? Now, a cheerful giver is one that has no problems with giving without justifying why they give. They have no problem with giving a portion of what God has given them without minimalizing the efforts of God. This is why you look, well, let me just say it like this. Without church membership, all right, without the offerings, the church does not grow. Without your input into the branch of Zion that you worship at, we would not grow. You could not come to worship in the winter because it would be too cold, because we wouldn't have heat on. We wouldn't have lights. You couldn't come in the summer because it'd be too hot, especially if the place is enclosed. And I know down south, we open up the windows and cut the fans on. I've been there with the fans going, and it's been burning up hot. But, you know, really, if the offering was coming in, they could force some AC up in the place. The bottom line is that without the people, the church won't survive. And so throughout history, you've primarily had two givers, those who tipped and those who tithed. Now, we call it tithing and offering. If you've never given a tenth, you've never been a tither, at least at a minimum. And so you've been given an offering, but it ain't really an offering if it's not based upon the level of love that you have for God. Because you got to remember that if I'm a tipper and if I got to justify what God has done for me in order for me to give, because, you know, people say, well, I'm not going, I don't give that man nothing. I'm not giving that church, and I don't know what they're doing with all that money. I work hard for my money, so I'll give them a dollar or two, but, you know, but God, he knows. But you're not giving to the church. You're not giving to man. You are giving to God. You are laying a blessing down before who? The Father. As a tither, we understand a tenth. That's what's been preached throughout church history. You must pay your tithes. Tithes, tithes, tithes. You're not going to get away from it. Even though we're in the age of grace, we're not under the law. We're not removed from it, but we're not under it. It helps surround us and keeps us on a straight and narrow, but we are not under the law. The problem with the tithe is that now you have an obligation to pay God. Something don't sound right like that. I have an obligation to pay a bill. And when a credit card bill comes, there's a minimum amount that I need to pay. And so when I begin to group God's in with the world's, now I put his first though. I'm going to write his check first. But I got them lined up with the bills. There is a minimum of 10% that I need to give God. And I become conditioned to, even if I have more, why would I give more when I'm giving a tenth that he has blessed me with? So he gives me 100%. I give him back 10. I got 90 to work with. Well, a cheerful giver says, I'll keep the 10 and I'll give God the 90. Because I believe he can work the 90 better than I can. See, when you become a cheerful giver, that means that you have to understand that all that you have belongs to God. Not only that, when you get the mindset of giving because you love the Lord, he's going to remove a whole lot of mess out of your life. And here's the key. When it comes to cheerful giving, there's no percentage. Now, I'm going to walk with y'all more. Come out to this seminar. I'm going to walk, but I'm going to give you a little bit right now. By his grace, through fellowship with him, giving is to be the product of God's grace working in the life so that it first produces a commitment of one's total life to God with giving as an overflow of that previous commitment.
You give because God has given to you. Now, it has to come from here. He says, as you have so purposed in your heart. See, you're going to have to rely on the Spirit of God. And many times in service, when it comes to an offering, the Spirit says, I need you to give this. But you say, Lord, that's too much.
All right.
He's trying to bring you into cheerful giving. He's trying to say, look, if I tell you to give that, I got you covered.
Yeah.
See, if you just give the temple, if you just want to tithe, then you limit me on what I can do for you. Because you're not giving because you love me. You're giving because you're following the law. Oh. That's what I was doing. I paid because it was required. Even though I love the Lord, that was not my mindset when it came to giving. Now, I would give to others, but when it came to God's house, I'm going to pay my 10%. And I may pay to some of these benevolent funds and stuff like that, but I said, as long as I cover my tithe, I'm done. Because the way they say it is, look, if you give God one, he gonna give you two. So now, not only am I under the law, but I'm giving to get. That's not a cheerful giver. You may say, well, what's wrong with giving to get? The problem is that when you give to get, your motives for giving is wrong. Well, let me break it down since Christmas has just passed. So I just want you to understand it. I'm giving Brother DK a gift. Right? Now, I'm giving because I expect a gift in return. Right? I'm not just giving freely. I know that if I give this brother a gift, I should get a gift in return. Not only that, my gift costs a certain amount of money. And so if mine costs a certain amount of money, then he needs to give me a gift of equal value or more. Because I'm giving a gift through obligation, so that it may be returned back to me. Not because I love him. Not because I just want him to have something. Not because I just feel good about all that he's done for me in my life. I'm giving to get. And when I don't get.
Uh-oh.
I get mad.
Uh-oh.
I get upset. Well, let me help you out. If you ain't just going to give to me because you love me, don't give it at all. All right? If you're not going to give to God just because you love him, then God is saying, don't give me nothing. Because it said that God loves a cheerful giver.
All right.
But real, I wish I'd known that before I gave that expensive present. Give just to give. There is no strings attached to giving. That's what I like about the word of God. See, folks hold on to money like they gonna take it with them when they die. You got folks who are struggling, trying to make ends meet, and you got some extras that you ain't even using. But instead of giving it, you want to lend it.
Well,
and the problem with the lending is that it has to be paid back.
Well,
if you had to lend it in the first place and they didn't have it because they needed it to pay for something else, then you just going to be in the line with everybody else that they owe. But because you want your money back, you going to get twisted and out of shape. Because they ain't paid you in time. But you one of God's children. Bible say, oh no man. If you can't give, then don't give it. But when you are dealing with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to be able to give what you have, something that you don't need back. And you become a cheerful giver. And when you cheerfully give, watch this, you are giving to God as a part of your portion that he's given you.
Yes,
sir. See, folks, they say, and Jesus said this himself, you hypocrites. You bring everything to the church while your mama somewhere is starving.
Yeah.
And you use the church as the reason for why you can't give to somebody.
Wow.
See, I can't give because I got to pay my 10%. If you give as a whole, you're giving to who? God. So if there's really no worry about what the pastor thinks.
Wow.
See, and this is where we got it. I have to admit that I grew up under the tithing system. And so that's all I knew. And even though I knew that the New Testament is an extraction of the Old Testament. And so while you can't get rid of it, it made good sense to keep portions of it. The problem is that we are picking and choosing what portions of the law we want to keep. Because truthfully said, if you're going to follow the law, you have to follow the law to what? The letter. And if that was the case, this place would be empty. Because we all be beheaded by now for our infractions against the law. So you can't really pick and choose what you're going to do. If you fornicating, your head is gone. You adulterer, your head is gone. Homosexual, your head is gone. If you are a non-tither, your head is gone. Oh, you say, no, they don't kill you for that. Are they rare? Wasn't it a husband and a wife in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Sold a house, came back with a tip, didn't tell the other what they was doing. They hadn't communicated. God called them out, killed the husband first. Wife came around, thought she was doing something with her tits. I'm like, yeah. And they gave her a chance. Is that all?
Yes, sir.
She said, yeah. I said, you done lied like your husband.
Woo.
Don't think that you can fool God. He knows. He knows what you have. You can tell me anything you want. I don't dig into your finances. I don't know how much you make. I'm not one of the kind of churches that have you sit down and write your income. Oh, they do that. Social Security, annual income. What's your annual salary? How much you plan to give? Because you need to be paying your tithes. If not, how are you spending? How are they going to get the jet then? How are they going to get the things they need if you ain't paying your portion? You ain't paying your portion. You ain't getting no fringe benefits. And it makes sense as it relates to the law. And this is where I had the difficult part. If we are givers of God, then there is no boundary to how we treat one another. See, I got to step out of the legalism part now. And just because you give $100,000 and you give $10 as the pastor, I can't differentiate. Because I have to respect whatever you give as it relates to your relationship with God. What I have to trust is that you are doing your best, and that's all that I can ask. So that moves me from a whole different shift as to how I look at tithes and offering. If I'm following God.
All right.
Now, let me show you this, because what it says is that it's now proportionate giving. That means to give as God has given to you, right? 2 Corinthians 8.
11 through 15 says, "Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have," out of what you actually have. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." I'm trying to teach you right now. A person making $100,000 gives a 10% his tithe. He's going to give $10,000. All right? Now, a person making $1,000 is going to give $10. Now, the person with $1,000, let's just say $100. Now they have $900 to operate with. The person who had $100,000 gave $10,000, but now he has $90,000 to work with. Who you think is in more need? So as proportionate giving, if you give as the Lord has prospered you, he has the ability to go beyond 10% of what God has given him. And by him going beyond what God has given him, it does not hurt the one who's giving the best they can. And therefore, it creates equality, because now the church house is supplied by everybody doing the best that they can based upon how the Spirit of God has laid it in their heart. That's why we must work together as a family in order to move forward. Some folk can't pay the same amount every time, and I'm realizing this now. Situations change. Circumstances come up. But God knows what you should be given. It ain't for man to know. That's why I took away the whole offering and walking. I knew what God was working on me with. I didn't know where he was going to bring me to. But the reason why I took the offering out of the sanctuary, because if you look at the word of God, the Israelite family took care of the money before they got inside the worship house. The problem with the black church, or most churches, is that we walk around, and when you walk around, folks is checking out who walking around. And so if you don't walk around, then you got folks talking about, "Well, I don't never see her get up and walking around." Not to mention the fact who walking around, sticking their hand so far in the basket, you can't see what they're giving no how. But if you got to put your hand that far in the basket, you ain't giving nothing. And so folks begin to look at one another and they say, "Well, that ain't right." But now with them two boxes back there, you come in, you drop your offering on. As the Lord has prospered you, so you prosper him back. And you don't give to get. I'm not giving God $2 to get $4. I'm giving because he woke me up this morning. I'm giving because he put food on my table. I'm giving because I got clothes on my back. I'm in my right mind. My family is doing fine. I give because he has blessed me with enough sense to know that a portion that he has given me belongs back to him. Now, if I want to, I could drop the whole kitchen caboodle on him. And I would still be fine, because I put my trust in God and not in man. See, I'm not worried about a financial crisis. I'm not worried about if my money get too low. If it get too low, some folk won't get paid. But if it get low, it's because I've not been a good steward of what God gave me in the first place. See, the problem is we like to penalize God for our lack of, because we ain't got enough sense to spend accordingly. We got folks who have... I got kids in the pulpit. I mean, in the booth. Right. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
Look,
We are so busy and so caught up in trying to look like we somebody that we become nobodies. While nobody's watching you become a nobody and you still think you somebody, God is trying to say, I want you to be somebody, but I got to teach you how to stand up. Stop trying to impress man and start trying to impress God. I got to get all this stuff for Christmas. You miss from Genesis to Revelation. You miss the mark. It ain't about giving stuff that's going to be broke in 30 days. Only things that last in life is what you do for who? Store your treasures where? It ain't no iPod. It ain't a big screen TV. They nice, but not necessary. See, you got to learn how to when to get and when not. Learn how to make sure all your needs are taken. God don't care if you got $1 million home. He doesn't want you to have a place where ain't no rain on you. He could care less about all the material things that you care about. We were talking this morning about a $45 million church. How much? 145? $45 million church being built. You imagine what $45 million can do for some homeless folk, some hungry people, some folks without medicine. Huh? So this is the church, and we so involved in bringing up the temple. Now, don't get me wrong. If you got the money to take care of all that God told to take care of, the widow, the poor, the needy, the orphan, and you still got $45 million left over, by all means, build you a temple. But if you ain't took care of the first necessity of God, God said, I ain't got a place to lay my head. You're talking about the creator who could have just put a house together. His house would have been so bad, he'd have been on MTV Cribs. But he said, you want to follow me, pick up your cross, not pick up your house. Not pick up some material possession, pick up your cross and walk. Because if you're going to walk with me, see, the one thing that we got to understand, this ain't our home. So all the monies that we, you know, you need money to operate. Yeah. But all the monies in the world can't buy salvation. All the money in the world is not going to get you a slot in heaven. All right. No, I don't care how rich, how famous you are. I don't care if you make $1 billion. If you be a billionaire without Jesus, you'd be a billionaire on the way to hell. I'd rather be a $10 broke brother on my way to heaven and $1 billion here and on my way to hell. Because I realize even if I don't get my house here, I got a house not made by hand waiting on me. I got a crib waiting on me with more rooms than I'll ever need in my life. So I'm not worried about what's going on down here. So we have to learn how to become what? A cheerful giver. That's why you see giver on the envelope. I'm not saying that people who tithe are wrong. I never say that. It may be where you need to start. It's where I started. Well, no. I started out a tipper. I had to figure out why I was giving God what I was giving him. Give him $100. You know what I can do with $100? Oh, church folk, they ain't doing nothing. I ain't seen them in the community nowhere. Then I became a tither. I'm going to take God's out first. I'm going to give him his 10%. But after my last seminar last year, I realized that I was giving God a minimum monthly payment. I had reduced my God to a stack of bills. And he had done more for me than 10%. You know, and I limited what he could do for me because I limited what I gave him. I limited my love for him because it became legalistic. It was not a cheerful heart. It wasn't until last year when I came to the understanding that what God wants is your best. And your best is whatever he has determined with you in your heart to give for that particular week. And I can't argue with that. I can't argue. I'm not in your house. I don't know what bills you have. I don't know. And sometimes you may need to regroup, because once you come to the realization that you have messed up, then you need to put some bills back in order, get some stuff knocked out, start following God. Because then when you follow God, you realize I can give more now to the one who I should be giving to. And I'm not going to go down the same road I went in before. But at the same time, you can't cause hardships to others who you already owe. All right. It gets complicated. The main thing is, you want to get into your mindset that I'm going to give to God, not out of obligation, not out of what I expect from him, but out of the love that I have for him. All right. That's what the New Testament wants. It wants you to give because you just love them, and give as God has given to you. And you may give abundantly, you may give less. And here's the key with giving less: you can't feel bad about what you gave. See, that's well, they don't understand how the Spirit works. See, you say, well, I got you, Red. I'm a cheerful giver, but I can give what I want to give. I'm gonna give $5. If your spirit lets you rest with that, God bless. But the spirit ain't going to let you rest with what was purposed in your heart when y'all got together, yes, and he told you what to give. Yes, sir. You're still battling now against the will of the Father, against the will of your pocket. As to what I'm willing to give, because I don't trust God enough to handle the things that he should be able to handle. So this is not a message that gives you a scapegoat. This is the message that says start listening to the Spirit of God. Come out of the legalism. Come out of the tipping. And start giving based upon your love for him. And how your love grows for him is through your Bible study, your prayer life, and your fellowship. The big three. You can't get away from them. That's what helps you determine your relationship with him. When I learned to love God, I learned to give. Not be a fool. There's a difference. Because folks will use that to go against you. You know folks ain't doing right with the money. You don't just give. To give, you got to make sure they are doing right. So therefore, because if not, they're going to waste their money and your money. God says be a responsible steward. So that means that if you give them something, and it's a give, not a loan, not a lend, then make sure they follow in protocol for what needs to be done. Because when they come back, I say, well, did you take care of that? They say, well, nah, I love you. Sometimes love means backing away. A cheerful giver also has to know when to give, when not to give. Listen to the Spirit of God, because he didn't say for us to be fools either. So you have to be careful. Because the Bible says purpose for a man to do what? Work. He ain't working, she ain't working, they ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing. Come on, you got to get into this. But now, I'm going to get out. I didn't plan on being this long. But I want to get into this, and I would love to have the whole church there. Because we all need to hear this information. We need to know it, and we need to understand it. You know, I'm not trying to preach myself out of a church. I'm trying to make sure that your giving is based upon your love for God and not for anything else. And whatever comes, come. If the doors are closed down because you don't love him enough, he'll just send me somewhere else. I'm going to be fine. But if you love him, we'll go through the roof. And when we go through the roof, it makes an abundance for those who really need it, who don't have, so that we'll be able to give. We can't give accordingly because we don't have what we need. But if everybody starts doing their part in giving as a cheerful giver, with a smile on your face and a smile in your heart, and say, Lord, here's my offering. When you go to that box, say, Lord, here's my offering to you. Get the man part out of it. Here's my offering to you,
Do with it as you please. And keep on walking. Don't say, so I can get something back. I'm looking for this, so I want that. Just give and watch God take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
The doors of the church are open this morning.
All right.
Let me say this. God wants us.